In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, In Faith and Humanity, Salamun Alaikum, and so welcome to this program entitled Today's Special. Today we're going to speak about loving the world in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس بحب كل الناس أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
But first we'll look at the calendar. Today, Sunday, is the 16th of the month of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Isfan, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of February, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing the beginning of the discussion, the beginning of the program, we'll listen to Chapter Al-Hadid from the Holy Quran, verse 20.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Know that the life of this world is but amusement and diversion and adornment and boasting to one another and competition in increase of wealth and children. Like the example of a rain whose resulting plant growth pleases the tillers. Then it dries and you see it turned yellow. Then it becomes scattered debris. And in the hereafter is severe punishment and forgiveness from Allah and approval. And what is the worldly life except the enjoyment of delusion?
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Since love for the mundane world is the origin of all sins and the springhead of all errors, the blessed verse presents a telling depiction of the worldly life, its different stages, and the motives dominating each stage. The blessed verse proceeds with the fruits of life, saying that consequent to one's deeds, either severe torment or divine satisfaction may fall into man's share. Finally, the blessed verse ends by saying that worldly life is nothing but deception.
Sent by Allah. Stop speculating.
We're talking about the reality of the world from IRIB English Radio, and this program today is a special Be With Us. Although worldly existence is a lower and defective realm of being, but since it is a nursery for the training of lofty souls and a school for acquiring higher spiritual stations, it is a field for cultivating the hereafter. In this sense, it is the most sublime of the realm of being and the most profitable of worlds for the lovers of God and the wayfarers of the path of the hereafter. And were it not for this terrestrial realm of matter, the domain of physical and spiritual substantial transformation and change, and if God Almighty had not made it a realm of transition and annihilation, not a single imperfect soul would have attained its promised state of perfection, nor would it have been able to reach the realm of permanence and stability, nor the embodiment of imperfection would have been able to enter the King of God. Accordingly, that which is mentioned in the Holy Quran and traditions regarding the disapproval of the world does not actually apply to the world itself, but it meant to refer to absorption in it and love and attachment for it. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with seeking worldly pleasures and seeking this world for the sake of this world, for itself, as viewed in Islam. What's important in this regard is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all people in this world, and people come to this world and live here, and finally people die. Well, this is the apparent journey. However, when we view this world, we find that some people get very much attached to this world, to this worldly life, and forget everything that to be followed in the world hereafter. While some people, I mean those who are wise, they usually look at this world as a like a train, I mean, on which they've got in order to move from one place to another, or from the point of departure to the destination. And they know that, I mean, they're coming from the other realm, I mean, before creation to this world. This world isn't the ultimate destination, rather this world is a transitory station. And what's important is to live here for some time, and that everybody someday should leave this world for the other destination. I mean, for the other destination, for the other world, for the world hereafter.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
The world and worldliness, the intoxication of affluence. Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam, in his utterance, has used the phrase intoxication induced by comfort and affluence, which is inevitably followed by a vengeful disaster. In Sermon 151, he warns them, "You, O people of Arabia, would be victims of calamities which are drawing near. Beware of intoxication induced by effluence and fear the vengeful disaster which will follow it. Then Imam Ali describes the misfortunes caused by such immoderations. In Sermon 187, he foretells the calamities that were to befall the Muslim society in future. He says, "This would happen when you would be intoxicated, not by drinking wine, but with wealth and affluence.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها."
Dear brothers and sisters, you are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio, and now we'll listen to a part under the title "How to Control Our Love for This World, This Dunya." At first, what is dunya? The word dunya encompasses many things, but generally means the temporal earthly world in contrast to the eternal spiritual realm of the hereafter. Literally, the word dunya means closer or lower. More colloquially speaking, the dunya is any earthly concern or possession. We human beings admittedly love the dunya, and there is no problem in loving the dunya. It is, after all, the means to sustain our lives and continue our worship. It is, after all, a blessing for us and a means for us to be thankful to our Creator.
In the last century, we find that humanity brought an end to official formal slavery. Even though you find slavery-like conditions in many parts of the world today, there are millions of people who are domestic servants. Their circumstances are excruciating. There are millions of laborers who work on the fields like slaves, not having any choices, being exploited. Yes, that still exists, even though we did get rid of official slavery. But there is one type of enslavement that human beings have not brought an end to. It is an enslavement that we all experience, that we all struggle with throughout our lives. It's the enslavement of this materialistic world. You find that the words of Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam ring in our ears every single year. For 14 centuries, these words have moved millions of people. The Imam alayhi salam states, "Inna an-nasa 'abidu ad-dunya." People are the slaves of this world. They're enslaved by the materialistic aspect of this world. وَالدِّينُ لَعِقٌ عَلَىٰ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Religion? Not many people are really committed to their religion. It's superficial. They say they are religious, but when Allah puts them to the trial, you find that those who are really committed to the path of God are a few.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way.
dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and how about contemplating upon the words of wisdom as taught to us by the barometer of faith, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. How strange is this man! He becomes happy when he gains that which he would never miss, and becomes sad when he misses that which he would never catch. Had he thought, he would have realized that everything is planned and his earnings are predestined. He would have also sufficed with the available and would not have gone into the hard.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.
door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome back to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, in continuing our discussion on the Hadith of Imam Kadhim عليه السلام, in which he narrated to his close companion Hisham ibn Hakam. As I mentioned previously, this tradition has about 32 parts, and we have now reached the 19th part of this tradition, in which the Imam alayhi salam speaks to Hisham and indicates to him that what are the signs, or what is one of the signs that will indicate to us the strength of the intellect of the person. Again, as we mentioned previously, that there is a reciprocal kind of relationship between the intellect and our actions. Our beliefs, our intellect, our actions, they all kind of interact with one another. The greater our belief comes, the greater our intellect. The greater our intellect, the greater our belief. The greater our belief, the more actions we do, and so on and so forth. So in this part of the tradition, the Imam alayhi salam indicates that what is one of the signs, again because of the specific action that one does, and the specific action then obviously results in the increase, and in the increase in the strength of one's intellect. So the Imam says, oh Hisham, the ability to endure solitude. And as we mentioned in one of our previous episodes, that you know, in this holy month of Rajab, there are certain days in which i'tikaf is performed. The ability to endure solitude is an indicator of the strength of one's intellect. For he who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he has described himself by using the strength of the intellect, that is, one is able to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one by means of rational proof, and to try and prove certain of the aspects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his intellect, remains aloof of those immersed in the material world and those who are desirous of it, and instead desires what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a person now who may be alone in this world. Why? Because he seeks something that 99.9% of the other people do not seek. He's seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas the rest of the world, in different measures, maybe or may not be, you know, it's a mixture. So here it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard becomes his comfort in times of anxiety, his company in times of solitude, his wealth in times of poverty, and his honor in times when he lacks the support of his family and kin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who truly understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek him by means of our intellect, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Dear audience, today in the first part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, we are going to listen to the recitation of Surah Hud, verses 39 to 40, recited by Iranian reciter Qasim Muqaddami. Let's enjoy it.
فسوف تعلمون من يأتيه عذاب يخزيه ويحل عليك عذاب مقيم.
الله الله أكبر.
حتى إذا جاء أمرنا وفارت النور قل نحمل فيها قل نحمل وما آمن معه إلا قليل حتى إذا وفارت النور قل نحمل فيها
Welcome back to your audience of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 39 to 40 of Surah Hud, recited by the winner of the international Quran competition, Brother Qasim Muqattani. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, of course. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this is the second part of the recitation of Brother Qasim Muqattani, Surah Hud. It started from verse 36, and now in this part, he recited from verses 39 to 40. Now, as we can see, he's reciting in the Jawab register. In the previous program, in the first part of this recitation, he was only reciting in Qarar.
The lowest register.
Now he's moved up to the second register, to the higher register, and he's getting close to the third register, which is Jawab. Inshallah, in the next part, I think he's going to recite in the second and third register, which is Jawab and Jawab.
Which is Jawabul Jawab.
Jawabul Jawab, yeah. Right now he's reciting in Qarar and Jawab. In the next part, I think he's going to recite in all three registers. The Qarar, Jawab, and Jawabul Jawab.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in verse 39, فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ ذَعَيْنَ has to be pronounced without qalqala and with tawassut. Ta'lamun, ta'lamun. We shouldn't say ta'lamun or ta'lamun.
Neither plosives nor weak fricatives.
Yes, or in other words, with neither rahawa nor shadda, but with tawassut. Ta'lamun, not ta'lamun.
Timing should be in between these two groups of letters.
Yes. مَنْ يَأْتِيهِ We have إِدْغَام of Nun Sakina مَعَ الْغُنَّ. The Nun Sakina is not pronounced at all. Instead, it merges into the next letter and makes it مُشَدَّد. And because it's one of the letters of يَمُون, so إِدْغَام of Nun Sakina has six letters. We have يَرْمَلُونَ يَرَامِيم لَمْ وَوَنُونَ. But we only have four letters where idgham ma'al ghunna takes place, which means in addition to the shadda that you are applying, you should also nasalize that consonant for two vowel counts. Ya, mim, waw, and nun. So here we have ya, which is one of the letters of yamun, and so we have to nasalize the ya while holding it with tashdeed. May-ya-tihi. We have another one in the next phrase. عذاب يخزيه. Again, we have similar.
Another tanween, which is Nun Sakina, actually.
وَيَحِلُّ عَلَيْهِ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ. We have another idgham of Nun Sakina Malghunna in the phrase عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ. And notice how the qaf has the lowest level of tafkhim because of the ya'ul mat. مُقِيم, مُقِيم, not مُقِيم. مُقِيم is incorrect.
Yeah, the kasra makes it.
Yeah. In verse 40, Brother Qasim Muqattani, he does Qasr of Maddul Munfasil. Hatta Ida. At the beginning of his recitation, he also did Qasr. For example, if you go to verse 37, he said, Wasna'il fulka bi'ayunina wa wahina wa la tukhatibni fil ladina zalamu innahum mughraqoon. Zalamu innahum mughraqoon. So, because he started his recitation with Qasr of Maddul Munfasil, until the end of his recitation, he's doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And by Qasr, we mean he lengthened it to
two vowel counts. Yeah, we have another Maddul Munfasil, yeah. In this verse, for example, it's وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. So we have two Maddul Munfasils in this verse, verse 40. حَتَّى إِذَا And actually three, وَمَا آمَنَا and also مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. So we have three Maddul Munfasils in this verse.
All recited in Qasr.
Qasr, yeah.
And actually he had no other choice.
Exactly. And it's called Mad al-Munfasil is also known as Mad Jaizul Munfasil, because it's not compulsory to lengthen it more than two vowel counts.
You have the option.
Yeah. Jaiz means it's permissible. While Mad al-Muttasil, which we have in the word Ja'a of the same verse, verse 40, Hatta Ida Ja'a, it's called Mad Wajib al-Muttasil, because it's
obligatory.
It's compulsory lengthening, and you're not allowed to lengthen it less than four vowel counts.
Mm-hmm.
It's compulsory to at least lengthen it to four, or at maximum five vowel counts. And again, you have to be consistent with the number of vowel counts you lengthen Mad al-Muttasil, meaning if it's four, you should always lengthen it to four vowel counts.
Thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We continue our discussion about significance of the Quran based on the hadith. Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam in Khutbatul Muttaqin, when he describes the condition of Muttaqin, he says, Amma al-Layl fasafuna aqdamahum talina al-ajza' al-Quran yurattilunahu tartila yuhazzinuna bihi anfusahum وَيَسْتَثِيرُونَ بِهِ دَوَاءَ دَائِهِ. So, muttaqun are the people that no matter how much they read during the day, but definitely they try to read the Quran during the night when they are alone, there is no distraction, and they make themselves sad. What does it mean? It means they read the Quran very carefully, like a person who knows he has problems and he wants solution. يستثيرون به دواء دائهم. I have illness, I am looking for medicine, I am looking for shifa, for healing. Do you know any person who is ill and goes to doctor and starts laughing? Or he goes with seriousness. So, huzn is a condition which shows you are alert, you are attentive, you are aware of your need, you are aware of your problems, you are looking for a solution. This is not depression.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منام سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
منبر, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. it's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There was a lady by the name of Sauda bint Ammara bin al-Ashtar al-Hamdaniya. And she was actually a very courageous woman, a poetess in her own right. And she was known for her special devotion to Amir al-Mu'mineen. She was a very strong supporter of Ali bin Abi Talib. And this is after the Shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, where the people of her own tribe in Yemen actually selected her to represent them in the court of Muawiyah with a complaint about Ibn Artat, who had been sent by Muawiyah to Yemen as a governor. And whenever he would go to this area and extract zakat for them, he was very unjust in dealing with them. And so they had a complaint against this governor, and they asked her to go and represent them in Damascus. She traveled all the way to Damascus, and after getting permission to see Muawiyah, when he was told that this is a lady who was there in Siffin and saying lines of poetry, encouraging the soldiers of Ali from her tribe to go ahead and fight against you and your Syrian forces, Muawiyah said, anyway, you know, let her come in. She came in, and they actually, those who were around in the company of Muawiyah, they even remembered some of the words of the poetry she used in Siffin against Muawiyah and his army. So when she came in, this is where Muawiyah started reciting the lines of poetry, where she was urging her brother and others from her tribe to fight for Ali against Muawiyah. And basically, I'll just read the translation here, where she's encouraging her brother and the tribe by saying, get ready like your father, O son of Ammara, on the day of fight when champions meet. Support Ali and Hussein and his family. Target him, Hind, and her sons with disgrace. The Imam is the brother of Prophet Muhammad, sign of guidance and the minaret of Iman. Inna al-Imam akha al-Nabi Muhammad, alamul huda wa manaratul Iman. This Imam is the brother of Prophet Muhammad. He is the sign of guidance and the minaret of Iman and faith. So lead the armies and go ahead of his flag. March with shining sword and arrows. So when Muawiyah recited this poetry back to her, Sauda says, well, you know, these are the events of the past. It happened. There is no need to remember it. You know, what else could she say that at the time? So Muawiyah says, no. A person like your brother cannot be forgotten. And she says, yes, indeed, my brother, was a hidden entity. He was a courageous person. And then Muawiyah says, so what is your plea today? Why have you come to see me? And this is where Sauda says, you are now the ruler of the people and control their affairs, and Allah will question you about your duty towards us, the people. You sent to us people who represent your power and might. This Ibn Artad has come to our land, killed our men, taken our property. وَلَوْلَ الطَّاعَ لَكَانَ فِينَ عِزٌ وَمَنَعَةٌ And she basically says that if it had not been for the sense of obedience, we also have power and ability to resist. فَإِمَّا عَزَلْتَهُ لَأَشْكُرَنَّكَ وَإِمَّا لَا فَعَرَفْنَاكَ And this is where she says, if you dismiss him, then we will be thankful to you. And if you don't dismiss him, then we will know what you are, and then we'll deal with you in that way. Muawiyah, you know, didn't like the tone and started saying to Sauda, he says, you are threatening me on the basis of your tribe. By Allah, I intend to send you back to them on a small camel so that, you know, my governor will implement his judgment against you. Sauda was quiet. She didn't respond to that, but she recited two lines of poetry, where she says, Sallallahu ala ruhin tadammanahu qabrun fa'asbaha fihi al-adlu madfuna. May Allah shower blessings on a person who was contained by a grave, and so justice was buried with him. Means that person, when he was buried, justice was buried with him. قَدْ حَالَفَ الْحَقِّ لَا يَبْغِ بِهِ ثَمَنًا فَصَارَ بِالْحَقِّ وَالْإِيمَانِ مَقْرُونًا. He pledged to the truth that he would not sell it at any cost, so he became one with the truth and the faith. So Muawiyah says, who is this person you are referring to in these lines of poetry? And Sauda says, I'm remembering Ali ibn Abi Talib. And this is where Muawiyah says, so you are talking about his justice, that justice was buried with him in his grave? And Sauda says, yes, once I went to him with a complaint about his revenue officer and found him praying. And when he finished his prayer, he politely asked me, what can I do for you? And I presented the case against his revenue officer. And at that time, Sauda says, Ali on the musalla cried and raised his hand and prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni lam a'amuruhum bi dhulmi khalqik. O Allah, I have never, you know, asked my officers to be unjust to your people. Then he wrote a letter recalling this officer back to Kufa so that he can investigate and further inquire about the complaint that Sauda had brought to her. And this is where we come to realize that even in the presence of Muawiyah, Sauda remembered the justice of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and she portrayed in a very beautiful words that when he was buried, justice was buried with Ali. And that is why probably George Jordaq, when he wrote this book on Imam Ali, he named him Sawtu Adalat al-Insaniya, that the voice of human justice. So Ali becomes the embodiment of the justice for humanity, and this is what we have to remember about the personality of Ali ibn Abi Talib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save and protect the entire humanity from this problem of the coronavirus. Especially may he protect the mu'minin and mu'minat wherever they are from this disease. And we ask with the tawassul of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt that may we hear the news very soon about this problem going down and down, inshallah, until it is eliminated and totally prevented.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن.
Faithful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Ocean of Dua.